Thank you, Chair. Good morning, colleagues. Chair, we appreciate the opportunity to have a more interactive engagement this morning on some of the issues that were raised yesterday and encourage others with views to register them. I think we have an important opportunity now to try to make some progress on some of these issues by actually talking about them. We wanted to come back on the third paragraph this morning just to provide some reflections after listening to colleagues and having an opportunity to think about it overnight. And I think a good starting point for this reflection is what we just heard from our colleague from Pakistan. I think he's focusing us on an important question. What is the purpose of this element? What are we trying to accomplish with this element? I still think people have differing views on what we're doing with this element. I think for some, the idea here is to establish a predicate for what would be banned in the future. I think for others, the idea is to try to broadly identify the scope of the instrument that we're now engaging on in order to ensure that we're anchoring this instrument into a shared, anchoring it to a shared idea of the types of weapon systems that we're now focusing on. And I think our delegation falls in that second camp. And for that reason, I think we're increasingly concerned by what this third paragraph is intended to do. First of all, the idea of excluding something when we haven't yet reached consensus on what the purpose of the characterization element is creates its own ambiguity and its own source of confusion. So before we are deciding to exclude something, I think it's important to know whether we're excluding something from things that are prohibited. Are we excluding something from the entire scope of the instrument? Are we saying that we don't think these types of systems should be regulated at all? And I think for us, this has got to be more of an iterative process. It harkens back to what our colleagues from Switzerland said yesterday, that we need to keep coming back to this as we go through the rest of the instrument to understand better what we're trying to accomplish. So I think what we're trying to suggest is that we probably want to be a little bit cautious here on how we're approaching this. And frankly, it's kind of a bad look for this group to be spending a lot of time, maybe even more time, talking about what isn't covered than what is covered. And I do worry that this could turn into an exercise where more and more delegations are putting more and more types of technologies and weapon systems into the exception. And then the perception is that all this group cares about is excluding weapons from consideration. So that's just a broad, as we stepped back and we thought about it, that's just a broad reaction to what we're beginning to see with this. I think to a certain degree, it also itself prejudges this. The more we're focused on the exceptions, the more it gives the impression that what we're trying to do with the basic definition is create a category of weapons that should be legally prohibited. And that also, we think, is somewhat prejudicial to the outcome. So I think it's a long way of saying that we hope delegations will be open-minded on this question. I think the one issue that we do understand is something that we need to talk further about is, what do we do about those weapon systems that are themselves subject to pre-existing conventions? I mean, that's a real question. And so some of the things on this list are weapon systems that are subject to other instruments. And how do you relate this exercise to a pre-existing instrument? I think that's an important question. And you could understand why, for some delegations, it would be important that they continue to view another convention that establishes a basic legal framework for certain types of weapon systems to be viewed as the primary source of international law on that, and that they don't want to create confusion by creating potentially competing standards in two documents that could be intended to apply to a single type of weapon. So that's something that we should be thinking about. But there are other types of weapons here that are listed where it's not completely clear to our delegation that they should be fully excluded, because you could imagine scenarios where maybe as a general matter they wouldn't fall within the scope, but there could be applications or incorporation of technologies that could potentially bring them within the scope. So having a recognition that they may not necessarily be included, but there could be scenarios where, depending on the kinds of technologies that are incorporated in the future, they might be. And I think that's an important idea to keep in mind, because we don't want to create a scenario where there are concrete exceptions that states then point to and say, well, we agreed that this particular type of weapon was outside of the scope, and therefore, no matter what we do with that particular type of weapon in the future, it will fall outside of the scope of regulation. And again, to kind of take a step back and think about what we're doing, I think for the United States, a fundamental purpose of this exercise is to ensure that we're applying IHL to weapon systems. And I guess one question I have is, if as we're sort of ratifying those principles, the impression that we're trying to take certain types of weapons outside of the scope of IHL seems impossible as a broad proposition. So again, sorry for taking up so much time on this question, but I do want to at least register this one concern with the idea that's reflected in this third paragraph. Thank you.